Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
That's God's plan and purpose. Every time we meet in Jesus' name, He's here. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants to change us. Amen? I'd like to know, is there anybody could put a few sign language things to that song? I think it would be cool to be able to do some hand motions, you know, like, Jesus. But who? Russ? You do that? Could you? I'm not trying to put you on the spot like right now, but I mean. Yeah, ask the Holy Spirit. If you just give us a few, we couldn't do all of it, you know what I mean? But like Jesus, name, okay. How do we do Holy Spirit? What is it? Okay. And bound, open. How do you do bound? You wouldn't know. Okay, oppressed, bound. There you go, bound. I don't know about oppressed, tormented. Be something with the mind. So tormented, okay. Sick or lame, we'd have to do all of that. Because the Holy Ghost, how do you do Holy Ghost again? Holy, we need a lot of practice, okay. Of Acts is still the same. How do you do same? Okay, same. And you won't leave here like you came. Maybe it might be one good one, but that would be cool. We need to put that together. You be ready next Wednesday for us? Let's see. How do you say thank you? Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. All right. Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Oh, are you waiting to do another song?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't even, maybe I came up here a little too soon. Sunday we had, it was a wonderful move of the Spirit of God to do that very thing, to give relief and help to people who, being tormented by the enemy. And many people responded. And, they were told in the meeting following that, you realize it's not like one prayer and it's done. The battle really begins now. And you have to fight a good fight, and you need to, a lot of instructions were given to help them to, you got to walk this thing out. And it's a process. It's a process. And Yvette Pizzarelli, is that right?
Yes.
And Jim, this is Jim and Yvette. Would you just wave at everybody? There you go. And they're fairly new. How long have you been coming here?
5 months.
5 months or so. Okay, you came up Sunday and you shared a little bit of your testimony. Then you wrote it out for me, and I appreciate that. And I read it. And I thought it'd be good for you to just come and just come on up and relax. With this is your family. This is family, and this is your story. You're not tormented. No, you're not. Come on, you've been set free.
Okay.
And just stand right up here and relax and just tell your story.
Okay, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, there was a time in my life when I was oppressed by the devil and I didn't know it was the devil. I was raised in a family that didn't follow Christ and had place to the children, the devil did. And I was tormented by dreams when I was 5 to 7 years old of Satan in hell just tormenting me. And I didn't understand what was going on as a child. I thought I did something wrong, and so as I grew in secular things, I followed a lot of drugs and alcohol and did all the things that people in the 60s and 70s were doing. Even though there was a move of Christ going on, I was not in that move. little by little, my life became so bound that I ended up in the hospital. And I didn't write this in the testimony, but I'd like to share it. where doctors were speaking over me that I was going to die of a heart attack in my early 20s. And even though I didn't know Christ, I said, I don't believe that. I can't accept that because I've been healthy all my life. And I'm sorry, you're wrong. And so God must have already had his hand on me because I came from him. And he was already guiding me out of that, and I didn't know that. But I little by little started to get rid of the friends in my life who were influencing me with drugs and alcohol. And I didn't know why I didn't feel comfortable with that anymore. But I can tell you that what those doctors spoke over me, the death that they spoke over me, I kept hearing that. I kept hearing that. And finally, I went to some specialists, and they said, I want you to start jogging and forget about what the other doctor said, and it will regulate your heartbeat. And I said, all right, I'm all for that. So I continued to get on a health kick, and I ended up in women's soccer. I did a lot of things where I was very healthy. But I always would feel my heartbeat, and I would always think possibly that was going to be the moment of the end of my life, you know. And that tormented me through my 20s, 30s, and into my 40s. And finally, I went to a church. Well, I actually went to church in my late 20s, and I got saved. And then I didn't go back to the church, and I had nobody influencing me in any way in a Christian environment. So I continued to not be either with Christians and not really with the druggies, and I kind of walked it out by myself, at least I thought. But the Lord was always there with me. And so what I did is I just started going to a church and just trying to see what it was that everybody was following. And little by little, the Lord started changing me from the inside out. And little by little, I started not being able to do the things I used to be able to do. I would be convicted, not condemned, but convicted by the Holy Spirit. And what I found is that as I continued to follow that and got in my Bible, that I was getting freer and freer and freer. In hindsight, when I would look back, I can see where the devil got a stronghold on my life. And it was so strong and such a foothold in my life that I really had to struggle to tell the enemy, you know, he was wrong and he lied to me all those years. And even up until recently, I went in the hospital because I was having chest pain, and I just went to my doctor and said, you know, I was having chest pain. And he said, well, you need to go to the emergency room. And that fear, after all those years that I've been set free from that, started to come back on me and say that lie, maybe this is the moment. You know, and I remember just going into the emergency room saying this, and my husband was with me, and I was just, we were like, no weapon forged against me will prosper, and I refute every tongue that accuses me. And I did every scripture I knew, you know, and I just kept staying with that. And they did the same test that they've done numerous times. They went into a catheter, they did all those things, and my heart's fine. So there is nothing wrong with my heart. All those years, I believed that lie, even though I said I didn't. It was still back there just riding me like a little monkey, you know, because what Satan does, he just has his little guys come out and ride you. And as a teenager, I wanted to be cool. I wanted to fit in, so I did all the things. So if there's any teens in here, you know, go your own way with the Lord, because if you don't, it just gets you worse, you know, heavier and heavier into things that are not of God, and the torment can just really take over your life. And so today I am set free from agoraphobia, which I actually stayed in my home, which I didn't get into for 15 years. Did not leave my home except to go with somebody maybe to the store and back. Spent another 15 to 20 years trying to get better, you know, without the Lord. You know, my health got better, but my mind and my spirit wasn't right, you know. So as they all started to catch up with each other, now I can just sit here and say I've been set free from anxiety and agoraphobia and whatever else comes with that, you know, all the fears. And I'm able to minister to other people for the last, I don't know, 10 years. I've had a women's ministry, and they come to my home, or I go to the community center in the forest by Silver Springs, and I minister to them about how the enemy will get a foothold in your life, not only with the things I'm talking about, but with anything, and how he will slowly deceive, and you'll say, it's not a problem. It really isn't a problem. And before you know it, he's got a hold of you, you know, and it just gets stronger and stronger. So I have to say today that if you're one of those people, you know, resist the enemy, just resist the devil as much as you can, because he will get in there, and before you know it, you'll be walking down a road that you know, I can just take one drink, maybe two, my family were alcoholic, it's okay, I can do it, you know, and before you know it, you're having to have that drink every day or whatever it is. So those addictions really can take over. So I'm just praising the Lord today that I'm able to stand up here. I'm not afraid of you guys. I'm a little nervous, you know, but I'm not afraid of you guys, you know, and I'm not afraid of the enemy anymore. And he has used me mightily, and I'm a hairdresser for 33 years. And I have, that's a ministry too for me. People have come in my chair, and with hairdressers and bartenders, you guys will tell your whole story in 30 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a ministry for me where I'm able to tell where people are at. God gives me a discerning of spirits, and he lets me know, and I'm able to minister to them quietly in the chair and been able to send people to different places to get help, mm-hmm. because sometimes until our faith is strong enough, mm-hmm. we may need, you know, things, medications. I'm not saying if you take medication, your faith isn't strong, but that I used to take medication and no longer am on anything and don't need it anymore. And I refuse to take it because there were so many side effects. For anxiety, the first thing on the list was anxiety for an anti-anxiety drug. And I was like, okay, why am I taking this? You know? So I just stay in the Word, and I constantly have to tell the devil he's a liar. Whenever there's one little thing that I think he's going to get in the door, I'm very adamant about it. And with my friends, they say it's not easy to be my friend because I will talk to them about it as soon as I see something that I think is going to hurt them in their walk. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, you're not an easy person to have as a friend, but who's the first person they call? Me. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. So, you know, be an example to others and walk that light out. And I'm telling you, people will just flock to you. They, because the darkness, praise people God. That like butterflies and moths and stuff, they come where the light is. And God will just send people to you, and you won't even realize you have a ministry. No. You know, it's just great. Thank you very much.
We want to, let's just stay up here for a moment. I would like Jim coming up and be with your wife, and let's pray for them and elders and staff. Come on up and just gather around. Just, we need to pray them because now they've opened up publicly tonight, and you know how the enemy is, and we don't fear him, and we just pray blessings upon you. So let's just bless them. Congregation, just stretch your hands and just bless Yvette and Jim, we just bless you in the name of the Lord. You're God's, and God is using you and going to continue to use you. You've come a long way, and there's more to go, and we just thank God. Thank God for you, and thank God for what he's doing in your life. God, we pray you just protect this beautiful treasure that you have in Jim and Yvette and their testimony. May it flourish, and may they glorify you all the days of their life. And we thank you, God, that many others will be set free through their testimony and through their life. Thank you for their message, and it glorifies you, and we bless them, Lord, your children, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your testimony with us. That was wonderful. You know, I love Amazing Grace, you know, the great hymn Amazing Grace. I just kind of wish that one part was clarified, or part was, thank God we're not a wretch anymore. I'm not a wretch anymore. Even though you may call me that sometimes, I'm not a wretch. I do not receive that. I'm not a wretch. You know, I was a wretch. He saved a wretch like me. I just kind of want to make sure that everybody understands that. If you're born again, you're not a wretch. You're a saint. You're holy. You belong to the Lord. And you're a treasure. And you are special. You're holy, chosen, beloved of God. There's just so many things there to understand. Okay, let me jump right here into Word. And I want to talk to you about having the Mark 11, 23, 24 kind of faith. And I want to encourage you tonight in the Word as we look at the scripture, and specifically, I want to mention, I'll say that as we get moving along here. The title of this message is Mark 11, 23, 24, Kind of Faith, and when we look at scripture, by way of review, Is that the rain or is that air?
Air, probably.
I'm looking out the door. It looks like rain. Okay, but anyway. Never mind. I don't know why I get distracted so easily. I should have paid attention here. Just by way of review, real quick, Romans 12:3 says that God's given to every person a measure of faith. Every believer has a measure of faith. So the question should be, what is this measure? The measure, by way of review again, is the measure that Jesus had when he walked on the face of the earth. You have perfect, flawless faith. God has given it to you as a gift. Okay? And the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Wow. So you don't get any better faith than that. That's perfect, flawless faith. And you have it. You didn't create it. You didn't muster it up. You didn't build it. You were given it by God. Now, it was given to you like a seed. I may have said last week that faith is a seed. It's not. Faith is not a seed. The Bible says that the Word of God is seed. But faith is like a seed in the sense that it grows and it matures. And Jesus said, you know, that if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. So it's like a seed in the sense that it will grow. And when that seed grows, it can grow into a huge plant that many other people can get shelter underneath and coverage and protection. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But your faith grows like a seed grows. And when it's planted in good ground, it grows faster and it grows better. And you remember the parable of the soils that Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 4. If you're not familiar with that, you should read Mark chapter 4. The parable of the soils and the seed. There were four types of soil, and we've talked about this many, many times. And the soil represents your heart, okay? It represents the kind of heart that you have. The Bible says, guard your heart, because out of it are all the issues of life. You need to really protect your heart. Your heart is where you make the great decisions of your life. When you say to your spouse, I love you with all my heart, your spouse knows what you're talking about. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. And Jesus said this basic parable in Mark chapter 4, he says it himself. Jesus says, if you don't understand this basic parable, how are you going to understand any parable? In other words, if this is where you have to understand. Out of this basic parable, there are teachings that if you don't understand this, you'll never understand any parable that Jesus taught. And Jesus spoke a lot in parables. Amen? In the parable of the soils, where the seed is sown, there are four types of soil. There's what we just call the busy heart, or the soil that the Scripture says it was sown by the wayside, where there's a lot of traffic, a lot of things are going on. And this is where Satan is able to come quickly, it says. When the seed is sown by the roadside, it says Satan comes quickly, immediately, Scripture says, and steals the seed. I have to say, I almost see it every week. The Word of God that I'm giving out to you now is seed. I'm throwing seed out. Now, you're one of these types of soil. Your heart right now is one of those. I hope it's a good heart. But I can't necessarily tell. But what happens is this. As soon as it's sown, Satan swoops down and it's gone. You don't even see it. It's gone that fast. And he does it because we are easily distracted. And we are not good note takers. I'm telling you this because you need to be a good note taker. You need to become a scribe. I don't mean you need to write down every word, but you need to come with notebook and pen and because your memory can only remember so much. And Satan knows this, and he uses it as his advantage against you. And you'll hear something, oh, that's good, and then it's gone. And you will not remember something that you needed maybe later on in the week. So one of the first types of soil is a busy heart. If Satan can keep you busy, 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 distracted, 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 even though the same message is preached that could convert souls, that can bring healing to people, can bring change in their life, the same seed is sown in your heart. If your heart's a busy heart, it won't be productive. Sitting in the same, hearing the same anointed message, hearing the same thing, and it won't be productive. And then there's the shallow heart. The shallow heart is one when he immediately hears, he's excited about it, but it's shallow. In other words, it doesn't take root. It's not serious enough to do something with. They're moved emotionally for the moment, but yet it doesn't take root. They're going to forget it. It's going to be gone, and the experience is going to be over. Maybe they got goosebumps for a moment. And then it's over with. A shallow heart. And in fact, Scripture tells us in verse 17 of Mark chapter 4 that the person of the shallow heart, when the seed's sown in them, what happens is when affliction comes, affliction, everybody say affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. You don't get out of this earth without going through warfare. You need to become students of warfare. Know how to wage a good warfare. Okay. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He'll show you a way. He'll get you through it. The devil will try to tell you, you're going down this time, but God will get you through it. He's got a strategy. He's got a plan. He's way ahead of the devil. He knows everything. God knows everything. So affliction comes, and because of affliction and because of persecution, because of the word, because you've been given the word, now look out. The devil ain't going to mess with you if you don't have the word. He messes with you because you've been given something that could change your life and could change other people's lives. If you get this word and it goes deep in your heart and it produces root and then produces fruit, it can change the world. And he knows that. But we don't believe that. It's not that important. Come on. And so because of that, when he brings affliction or persecution comes, you know, persecution doesn't necessarily mean because you're being persecuted because you're a Christian. You're getting persecution or affliction from other sources, just causing you trouble, just causing harassment, just causing all kinds of aggravation, and it distracts you, and you're never able to take serious this word long enough to meditate upon it to grow some roots. You're busy over here, you know, dealing with the trouble, and next thing you know, you're just busy, busy, busy again. So it's very similar to the busy heart. And then there's the hardened heart. Rocky soil. Same seed, same message. Planted, thrown out there. But it's a hardened heart. How do people get a hardened heart? The word's not able to penetrate. Maybe they're skeptical. Maybe they don't trust the preacher. Maybe they don't trust anybody. And then they get the same word, but for whatever it is, their heart is hardened and they're not able to receive the word. It's not going to benefit them. They go out unchanged. We've been singing this song, "You Won't Leave Here Like You Came in Jesus' Name." That can be truth. Or you can leave here like you came in Jesus' name if you have a busy heart, a shallow heart, or a hardened heart when you come in here. And you don't change your heart. And you hold the key to change your heart. It's your attitude. I'm probably preaching to the wrong folks on Wednesday night, but it's part and parcel of every time we come together, you've got one of these hearts and you need to check yourself. Am I ready to receive the word of God? And do I believe that God is speaking through this man as he speaks the word of God to me? Is this God talking to me? Not me. Is God talking to you through the word? So, and then the good heart, of course, values the word. Takes notes, goes home and studies the word even more, and then prays that word in. Oh, God, this is what I've heard tonight. This is what I believe you've been talking to me about. And so, God, I pray this word in. I pray it in my life, God, that it'll take root and that I'll remember it. Holy Spirit, remind me of this as I need it. And then that word goes down into the heart, takes root, and it creates life. Now, look at those four hearts. Which one are you? You're one. Which one are you? You have to pick one. You're one of them. And you say, I ain't going to pick one. And you're a hardened heart. I'll pick it for you. I don't know. I'm too busy. I can't think about that right now. I've got too many things going on. Okay. But we know. We know. You see? And so you have to understand that this Mark 11, 23-24 kind of faith that I'm going to share with you tonight is something that most people who go to church don't know. And I'm not sitting up here like I'm some guru that's found some secret knowledge. I'm just telling you, they don't know it because they don't practice it. I'm going to show that to you in just a moment. So we're talking about faith on Wednesday nights. I feel like Wednesday nights is right now the Lord has led. And I didn't plan this at the beginning of the year, but the Lord has led to Wednesday nights, build the people's faith up. Build up their faith. They need their faith built up so they can go out in the world and make a difference. So they can see change in their lives where they're frustrated, where they're discouraged. Build their faith up and so preach faith, speak faith. So Wednesday nights is all about faith until the Lord leads otherwise. And so we're talking about faith. Let me tell you something. Faith doesn't come by praying for it. Don't pray for faith. God said He gave it to you. That's like praying for salvation after you've received Christ. God gave you faith. Thank God for faith. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, help me. Help me to grow in my faith and mature in my faith. Well, the Bible tells you how. Very plain, very simple. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the rhema of God. That's what it means. Faith comes by hearing and you recognizing the voice of God in that word that you're hearing and saying, that's God talking to me. I know His voice. I know God's talking to me. And then you recognize that and your faith grows by that. You take that word. You write that down. You meditate upon that. You digest that thing. You eat that word. It becomes part of you. You digest it. You can't, when you hear from God, you just don't forget about it. When you know something's been said, a scripture or something the pastor said, and it just quickened to you and you go, I know God's talking to me. You don't forget that. You that's a treasure. You go, ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then you want me to do something with this, God. And so your faith that you have right now is either going to stay in a seed form because you're not using it, or it's going to grow into what Jesus said. It's the smallest of seeds, but when it's planted, it can grow. It can grow into like a tree, a plant or a tree that can provide covering for a lot of people. A lot of people benefit from your faith. I suppose you benefit from my faith. I suppose you benefit from my wife. I suppose you benefit from the elders' faith. I suppose you benefit from a lot of people's faith. And I suppose people benefit from your faith. Because you're a person of, you're affecting other people, see. And most of your life, though, we're trained when we come in this world to live by the five physical senses. You know, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. We live life dominated by what the body tells you to believe. And then we grow into that. That's just part of the way the world is. But now, you are a peculiar people. You're learning to live the opposite of that. You're training, retraining, and renewing your mind to walk by faith rather than sight. And boy, you are an oddball in this world. You're an oddball. And like Yvette said, when the doctor said, well, you got this and this and this, and you're going to have this and all this, and she said, She didn't know enough to probably at that time in Scripture to be able to refute that, but she knew enough in her spirit to say, no, I'm not going to accept that. And so when we understand that God is doing some things in our lives that causing us to grow, He's getting us to this place where He wants us to realize that we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by the flesh. And so Romans 8:8 says, they are that are of the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God. Now, I need to define flesh. When we talk about flesh, most of the time the body is the Bible's talking about flesh. It's talking about the body, the five senses of the body, plus your unrenewed mind, the part of your mind that's unrenewed, that says, well, what I see is more real than what I don't see. That's flesh, you see. That opposes the Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that if you walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. But if you walk by the flesh, you won't carry out the desires of the Spirit. They're in opposition to one another. Are you with me? And it's not that your body's bad. No, your body is a glorious, wonderful instrument that God gave you. You need a body while you're here on earth. It's important. You have to have a body while you're here on earth. But your body is not bad, but your body will tell you what it wants you to believe in other by the five senses, and your unrenewed mind, it hasn't been changed and transformed to think like God's thoughts yet. That combination is called the flesh. And that will oppose a spiritual man or woman as long as you walk here on this earth. It will. So that's the part of you that you have to crucify yourself to, and you have to die daily to, and you deny yourself, and you have to just kind of tell yourself who's the boss. Body, you're not the boss. Mind, unrenewed mind, you're not the boss. The Spirit of God in me, my newly created spirit, that's the boss. I'm led by the Spirit, you see. So it's a whole different kind of walk. It's a whole restructuring of your way of thinking, and it's just a whole way of living. And so your five senses are a blessing in your body, but they will absolutely oppose your spirit. Your five senses will not allow you to believe or exercise faith. They'll say, no, that's not true. You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, you can't feel it, so it's not true. Well, that may work in some places on the earth, but it won't work with God. Okay, when Jesus was resurrected, Thomas wasn't there when other disciples saw him, and Thomas said very clearly, he said, you know what? No, I hear you guys and I like you guys, but purposely I'm telling you, I can't get the right scripture to come up here. My iPad's not working. Can you bring it up for me? He says, I will not believe unless I see the imprint and put my hand in his side. In other words, five senses. He was dominated by the five senses. Are you with me? I will not. No, I could not. I will not. In other words, my flesh is more in charge. I will not believe unless I see, unless I touch Jesus myself. So to walk by faith requires that you and I go through God's mind renewal program. Anybody want to sign up? God's renewal mind program. And here's what God intends to do. He wants you to become more Word of God ruled than world ruled. Word ruled, not world ruled. Now, how does that happen? God tells us, Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what you do immediately after you're born again of the Spirit. Now you immediately start the process of, I've got to change the way I think. Because the way I thought and way I've thought all my life was according to what I could see, taste, touch, or feel. And God's calling me to a higher life. A life in the Spirit where things you can't always see them with the eye. He's calling me to walk by faith and not by sight, to believe things are true even before I see them. If it's God's Word, you see. This is a high calling that God's placed upon your life. And He's determined, once He started this work in you, to finish it. And it's best for you and I to cooperate with Him. Because He's determined. What He's begun in your life, He's going to finish it. It was a work initiated by Him. It started by Him and in Him right now, and it will be finished by Him. So He's going to do whatever it takes. And if you've ever come to the altar and you said, God, I give you my life. Well, there you go.
He heard that. He said, oh, okay. Then I've got rights to do anything I want to do to get you to walk by faith, right? Yes, sir. And he will do it. And it's always good because it comes from God, who's always good. So let's talk about faith for the next few moments. How is faith released? Faith is released through our words. Through our words, we release faith in the atmosphere. What you hear come out of your mouth is your faith talking. Listen to yourself. What you hear come, if you're hearing grumbling and negativity and complaining, then you have faithlessness, unbelief, and doubt coming out of your, it's coming out of your heart. What you hear coming out of your mouth is either faith or unbelief. In Mark chapter 11, you got your Bible, go to Mark chapter 11. And I'm just going to use my Bible here. If you can help me up there on PowerPoint, follow along, that'd be great. Mark chapter 11, that very day, what happened? Let me give you a little back of the context. Jesus was going to the temple. And before he went into the temple, he saw this fig tree. And he says he was hungry. And he went over to this fig tree looking for some figs. And there was nothing there. And the scripture says he answered the tree. He answered the tree. You can read this. He spoke something to this tree. And the disciples heard it. Well, you'd hear it too. If you hear somebody talk tree, you go, whoa, he's talking to the tree. He's talking to the tree. Did you hear that? They took note of that Jesus spoke to the tree. He said, no one's ever going to eat of you again. I'm the creator. I'm your creator. You should have had fruit from me. So you're done. And he spoke to that tree, whatever his words were, he spoke to that tree, and they heard it as like, something's going on here. Then they go on about their business. He goes to the temple. He cleanses the temple. Okay, turns over the money changers' tables and does all kinds of things there, cleanses the temple, and at the end of the day, he's walking back out and going down this same road. This is all in one day. And Peter looks over there, and Peter says to him, Lord, that fig tree you cursed today. And what does your Bible say that Jesus said?
Have faith in God.
Say it out loud.
Have faith in God.
Your Bible says, have faith in God. Well, that doesn't make much sense. It doesn't make much sense if you think about that. Okay. So, fortunately, I was able to do a little research here for you tonight. Jesus answering to them, your Bible says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The word have in the Greek is the word echo, which means to hold and hold in your possession. In other words, Jesus actually said to them literally, because we lose some of this in the translation from language to language, he was actually saying to them, you already have the same faith. Now, that makes sense. Are you with me? For Jesus to say, have faith in God. They go, okay. But he said to them, you already have in your possession the faith. You already have it. He showed them what faith could do with words. He said, you can do the same thing. You have the faith of God. And so in Mark 11, 23 and 24, you can bring that up there, please. He says, truly, and he goes right into a teaching. Well, truly, I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that which he, come on, a little louder, says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Verse 24, therefore, there's a conclusion. Now, because I've said this, therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Let's go back to that. Desire. The Greek word is aiteo. Whatever it is you desire. And desires come out of your heart. Deep within your heart. What do you really want from God? What's your heart's desire? Not your flesh desire, your heart desire. Whatsoever things you desire when you, what? Pray. And the word there is prosukeme. And it means not just to go tell God your wish list. Well, God, here's everything I want. This word pray involves a lot of things. It means talking things over with God. It's not a come and here's what I want you to do, God. It's a communion back and forth. It's encompassing. It's actually the Greek word for worship, which means to prostrate yourself. One of the Greek words for worship meaning to prostrate yourself before the Lord, to prostrate yourself before the Lord, to lay everything out before God. Lay it all out there before Him is what this really what the root of this word pray means. It means come before God and just really lay it all your deep desire, lay it all out there. See? That's what He's wanting you to do when you pray. Lay everything out there before God. But commune with Him. This isn't going to be just a quick prayer. Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in Him, trust in God at all times, you people. Pour your heart out before Him. God's a refuge for us. I like praying in this sanctuary. It's a very special place. I was coming in here today, and I like walking and talking, or I lay down on the floor before God. And you just pour your heart out. He already knows it anyway. But you just pull everything out. God, I'm concerned about this. Yeah, I know. God, this I don't know what to do about this. Yeah, I know. What you pour it out. You just lay it all out before Him. Oh, and it's such a refreshing thing to do, to pray, but then have communion. Now, what do you think about this, Father? And then sometimes He may give you an idea, and he may not say anything about it at the moment, or He may give you a correction or whatever. He may give you a strategy, but as you pour your heart out before God in prayer, you've got to be listening. I didn't bring it in with me, but I always bring a note. When I go to prayer, I bring a notepad with me, because when I have an important meeting with somebody very important, are you getting the message? I have a notepad because I know my memory can't remember. So when I go on my prayer walks, I take my notepad. And I have to stop and write, think. It's important. What's important to you, you write down. Are you with me? I'm not getting on to you. I'm trying to encourage you to see. When you have an important meeting with somebody, you take some notes. And when I come in here today, and I mean, I got some notes and I write some things down. And I got to go back and go through them again and talk to God some more. But it's not just a one-time conversation, you see. And so after you speak to God, Jesus said that you come and pray first. Mark 11, 23, 24, faith is this. You pray. You're a person of prayer. You bring your heart before God. And you unveil, you lay your heart out, you fillet it open. God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. This is what's in my heart. This is what I desire, God. You lay it all out. That's what Mark 11, 23, 24 is based on. When you have that kind of relationship with God, woo, look out. Now, what do? Now, after you speak to God, you don't go to a counselor, you go to God for you speak to God, and then you can come and you can speak to your mountain. You don't go speak to the mountain first. You go and you speak to God about the mountain. And then you speak directly to the mountain. I've talked to God about you. You want to know what He says? No weapon formed against me will prosper. You want to know what else he said? He said, everything I do will prosper. So what are you doing hanging around? You talk to your mountain that way. I know it sounds silly because you haven't done it before. You talk to God first about the mountain, and then you talk directly to the mountain. What do you say? What do you say, preacher? You speak the desired result, the thing that's in your heart. You talk to God about it. Now you know it's okay. You're not out of alignment with God, and you're asking in accordance with His will. Now you speak that desired result. I desire that debt is gone. I declare it is gone. The debt over Grace Tabernacle is gone. It is paid for, and God said it in His word, and I believe it, and I declare you canceled, and I declare you paid off in Jesus' name. See, and you speak to your personal, I speak to my death. You said, well, was anything happening? Yeah. Every time I pray that, something's happening. Well, I don't see anything changing. Well, I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. I believe God's word's true more than what I see. And then every once in a while, God lets me see a big thing happen. I go, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God sometimes doesn't want to answer our prayers like that right away because we wouldn't pray. He's trying to develop a relationship with us. And many times He does. I don't have enough time to tell you, but I had some tremendous breakthroughs this past year. In one particular, in finances. And it was a direct result of Mark 11, 23, 24. Believing it, God just highlighted that scripture to me and basically challenged me to say, do you believe that? Well, I said, well, God, you know, there's a lot of people that abuse that scripture. And I was like, I was going to tell God things He didn't know. Well, you know God. And He asked, well, but what do you believe? Well, I believe it. He said, then why don't you do it? Like now? Oh, okay. And I had some desires, and I started laying it. I laid it out. God knew it all. And then I started speaking the desired result because I knew that after what my desire in my heart was in alignment with His. He wanted to give those things to me. And you know, in a short amount of time, I saw things happen that I went, wow, only God could have done that. It is a miracle. I mean a miracle. I'll tell you just one real quick. Was a boom, money came in from sources that you would never expect. And one of those was us going away on sabbatical. Pam and I were driving about a month before. We knew we were going to go on sabbatical last year for a month. And I said, Lord, I said to Pam, I didn't say to Lord right then. I said to Pam in conversation. I said, wouldn't it be great us to be able to go away and have all of our bills paid for the month and not have to worry about any of that and just be able to go and enjoy ourselves? And I'd really like that, you know. And as soon as that came out of my mouth, it was like God was sitting in the back seat in my mind anyway. It's like He said, well, why don't you ask me for it? And so I took that matter to prayer after that, and it wasn't long after that. That happened. Your love offering and other people's love offering. Money came in and things happened. And you know, God gave me the desire of my heart because He actually put that desire in my heart to ask Him. Because He wanted to show Himself a great provider. He's generous. Too many details here, but okay, that's enough for tonight. That's too much for you right now, other than the fact that, put the confession up, if you would, please. Can you bring the confession up for me, Terry? Thank you. All right, this is what you need to stand up and say. I want to read it out for you loud first, and then if you agree, then you stand up and confess it. Whatever the Word of God says is truth is my final authority. Okay? The Word is the sword of the Spirit, and I use it in combat. The Word says that I'm the righteousness of God, so I am. The Word says I have access to the throne of God, so God hears me. The Word says for me to use the name of Jesus fearlessly, so I do. God is faithful, and I'm expecting Him to perform His Word just as He said. As I confess the Word of God with my mouth, I shall have what I say, because Mark 11, 23, 24 says so. Now, there's teaching you got tonight to go along with that to help you. Now, if you agree with that, you want to make a declaration, you want to hear faith come out of your mouth right now, then stand up with me and say this out loud. Let's say it slowly together. Ready? Whatever the Word of God says is truth and is my final authority. The Word is the sword of the Spirit that I use in combat. The Word says that I'm the righteousness of God, so I am. The Word says I have access to the throne of God, so God hears me. The Word says for me to use the name of Jesus fearlessly, so I do. God is faithful, and I am expecting Him to perform His Word just as He said. And as I confess the Word of God, I shall have what I say because Mark 11, 23 and 24 says so. Amen? Now, what we need to do, I know it's a little later than usual, but just what we need to do, take a moment. Now, you need to pray to God about some mountain in your way. There's some mountain, something blocking your way. Everybody's got something. And God may have ordained that mountain to be there so you learn to operate in this principle. So think about your mountain for a moment. Pray, and just pray. Pray to God right now. If you want to come to the altar, you can come to the altar. But just pray to God about this mountain. Ask Him, what is His desire? This mountain that's in your way, this obstacle that's hindering you, that's blocking you. Ask God, what do you want me to do about this, God? What is it, God? You know the desire of my heart. Tell God the desire of your heart now. Tell Him, what is it you really would like to see happen? And this may take longer than we have for tonight, but you're getting the principle. Once you believe you know how God, your desires are lined up with God's desires, and you two are one in this, then from now on, you speak to the mountain about it, not to God. You've already talked to God about it. Now you speak to the mountain. And you talk directly to this mountain, just like Jesus talked to a fig tree. I don't care how silly it looks. You let faith come out of your mouth and you tell this thing. If it's supposed to dry up and die, you command it to dry up and die. And if it's supposed to live and flourish, you tell it to live and flourish. You have life and death in the power of your tongue. You've got to use it. Amen? Raise your hand. Let's just praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, God, their seed is gone. I've thrown seed all over this room. Every person here has received the same seed. Now, Lord, some, you said, in good ground will produce 30-fold, some will produce 60-fold, and some will even produce 100-fold. God, I pray that we'll hear testimonies of 100-fold returns. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray that every heart here be good ground tonight. And the seed of the Word of God is received and meditated upon and prayed and spoken and walked out this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. Encourage someone before you go home tonight, or just sit down and meditate on that.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.